you know. Mm-hmm. She says, you don't have to drive. You're old enough. You don't have to drive fast or anything. I said, well, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it because I want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to do it.
I wouldn't have enough willpower.
My daughter doesn't. My daughter is she's a diabetic, but she'll eat a little bit of candy now and then. She's not. This is my father's. This is where he'd have his. Watch. And this here, my brother Harold bought it in Rome for two pennies. Yeah, I got it written on that so that my daughter would know. I got the thing, and then I got that. And this here, the year after we got here, 1917, my dad was working in the yard. He was skating.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard something. And he dug it up, and this is what he found.
Oh, wow! This is the real thing. I was freaked out. I'm not a lizard fan.
And I don't know if, what it is, if it's gold or whatever it is, because I don't want to touch it. I'm going to give it to Joanne.
Uh-huh.
I want to give it to her now, but she says, no, she needs to take anything away from me.
Yeah.
But see, I got the lizard picture here, and I got it all written here so that she would remember.
Mm-hmm. It's so cute. If I would have seen this in the ground, I would have thought it was real, and I would have screamed.
This here is my mother's wedding ring.
Oh, wow. The little fingers.
She gave it to me before she died.
How old were you when she died?
I was 47.
It was very beautiful.
But that there comes, that's right from Italy.
That's so cool. So did your dad ever go back after all of you moved here, or just stay here?
He wanted to go back, but here's what happened. We were sending, the town that where we lived in, the postmaster was my mother's cousin.
Mm-hmm.
It was that my cousin Maria, that one in the picture,
uh-huh.
It was his daughter. Her father was the one that had the post office. And my father would send so much. When he come home on Saturday night, this for the food, this for the payment on the house, this for the tax, and this for that.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was sent to his family. I don't know how much he sent. We don't know how much. But anyway, when my brother died, when Harold died, there was such a shock for both of them, my mother and father. That it was a horrible thing. And they cried all the time, and we'd cry, and we'd have to say the rosary for him. And every Sunday, we went to the cemetery, and we had to kneel in the snow to say the rosary. And you know, my father was so he didn't want to leave the grave here.
Uh-huh.
So he decided to stay.
How old was your brother when he died?
16.
He was the one that was 16?
He was 16, and he was a very brilliant. He was very intelligent. He made a radio when radios weren't being sold.
Mm-hmm.
There's an article in the paper telling how to make the radio, and both of them got together, but Harold is the one that did all the thinking, and Saturno helped him. And when the voice came through, you know, they were in the bedroom and they called my father and they had to put, you know, the ear things on.
Mm-hmm.
And my father said, well, where's that music coming from? And so my brother Harold explained that it was in the air and that would bring it in. And it was with a spool of thread, but they took the thread off and put wire.
Uh-huh.
And I wish we would have kept it. I don't know what happened to it. And now this here, my grandmother weaved this. Wow. That's beautiful. I think there's an initial here, but yep, so yeah, it's been a while. But I don't know what that initial is. It doesn't look like an initial. I can't. My mother brought this from Italy. And one day she said to me, you know, after I got married and moved out, she asked me if I would like to have it. And I said, oh, yeah. But I've never seen my grandmother, and my grandmother never saw me. She died before I was born.
Mm-hmm.
She was living in Rome, and her sister was living up the floor above her, and her sister had a little boy, and he was playing with my grandmother, and he pushed her, and she fell down on the steps and broke her neck.
Oh, my goodness. That's so sad. Wow.
My mother's side of the family were aristocrats.
Mm-hmm.
They were the reason they were aristocrats is because they had owned a lot of property from way back. And what I'm going to tell you now, I don't know whether it's the truth or not, but my father told us that the Darpini family originated in Spain.
Mm-hmm.
And they migrated to Italy during the Holy War. You've heard of the Holy War?
I've heard of it, but I don't know too much about it.
I don't know too much about anybody, but they called it the Holy War. I think they were trying, I don't know whether they were trying to get everybody to become Christians or maybe the vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know either. But anyway, they migrated there. And my grandmother and grandfather, on my mother's side, they were the ones, they were in Italy. I mean, they were born and raised there.
Mm-hmm.
And they were quite wealthy. But my grandfather started to gamble. And in one night, he gambled 2 parking houses in Rome and all the property that he had in Adonata.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he had never worked, being he was rich, you know, they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
He never worked, and my grandmother never worked. So she started weaving and selling it. That's how she made the living.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Must be nice to be able to live like that, but then bad to lose it.
Yeah. Well, see, we were never allowed to, the only time we had cards was at Christmas Eve. My father would get the deck of cards. The other time, we were not allowed to.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep you from starting a bad habit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. You know, my dad really taught us wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
He taught us the theory of music. You know, not to play the instruments, but the theory of music.
Uh-huh.
Maybe one night a week to that, and then maybe a couple of nights later, he would teach us etiquette, how to eat, you know, and how to hold a fork,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And then a couple of nights later, he would teach us from the Bible. Well, one time, I don't remember how many times after that, but anyway, we were all sitting around the table because my mother, you know, after we get through eating, my mother would clear the table, and then she'd sit down, and my father would talk to all of us. And one night he said, you know, Jesus died for your sin, and he pointed to all of us, to my two brothers, myself, my mother, and himself. And when I went to bed, I thought, well, how could he have died for me? I didn't know him. He wasn't here. He'd been gone a long time, you know, so I couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But then later on I understood it. But that's what he did. And, you know, a lot of people, they said that the Catholics were not allowed to have a Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the Bible. We were not encouraged to read the Bible, but we could read it if we wanted to.
Yeah.
But you see, a lot of people, they interpret the Bible a lot different. You know what I mean? Say, for instance, I didn't know anything about it, and I would start reading it, I would interpret a lot different than what it actually is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's kind of different, the different views, I guess. Just got to know how to view it.
Well, when I was, when I lived in Adelaide, I got pictures of the church and everything, but I got, my daughter went to the church. And it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea how beautiful it is. But they don't have any, you didn't sit. There's no sitting.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were there was no kneeling benches. We had to kneel on the floor.
Ouch.
And the older people, they would bring their chairs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when Joanne went there, she went there and her son took the picture. Now they have kneeling benches, and this is the
place.
You should see how beautiful it is in there. I'll get it out one of these days and show it to you next time you deliver. They kept it really beautiful, beautiful. The statues are just all painted beautiful. And you know, I had been in the United States for a long, long time, and I happened to go to my husband had to work in the Cleveland, Mississippi for a while, so I went down. We rented our house, and we went down. We were going to live there,
mm-hmm.
but then the plant went bankrupt. Not the plant that my husband was running, but the money that Dan was making at Cleveland, Mississippi, it was being sent to Chicago, and the owner of it was Jewish,
mm-hmm.
and they were speculating. They got into all kinds of different things to make a lot of money, and they went bankrupt. So, of course, that went bankrupt. But you know what? The boss's wife ended up with $10 million.
Oh, my God!
You know what he did?
Huh?
He would take the money and put it in her name. So when he filed bankruptcy, they couldn't do anything about it. They knew that she had that money in the bank, but they couldn't do anything about it because it was in her name.
Smart thinking.
And when I went down there, and then he had gotten acquainted with the man from Memphis, Tennessee. It was about 140 miles from Cleveland, and we'd go on weekends. And we had the invaders over there, and then they had property in Arkansas,
mm-hmm.
and it was just across the Mississippi River. And we went across, and they as we were going into the house, I started to get chills, you know, I started to get real chilled, and I went like that, and my husband says, what's wrong? I said, I don't know. I said, just feel chills. But when I went in the house, it seemed like I had been there before.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had added on, this was an old house, but then they had one room that they added on to entertain their guests, because they were very wealthy people. And when I went in their room, I didn't feel like I did in the other rooms. So when I came home, I kept thinking, I know that house. I've seen that house before. So then it kind of came to me that I might have seen it in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got home, I called my sister Josephine. I said, Josephine, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, don't answer me. Don't say anything until I'm all finished. And I said, there's a place, and I described how it was, and there was two plans on either side, and in Italian it's called pizza vacca. That means the tip of a cow,
mm-hmm.
the little fruit. And I told my sister that there's two plans, and then there's a driveway, and it's got an arbor. And then I described going into the house. When you walk in, you're upstairs, and then there's a hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And I explained it, and she says, my God, Mary, that's the house you were born in.
Whoa!
And I said, and then she said, they called it La Grotta, which means the grotto, because Armada was on a plateau,
mm-hmm.
and then down there's caves around.
Uh-huh.
But the house was called La Grotta, but it wasn't inside any place, it was just on property. But she says, my God, how could you remember? I says, I didn't remember, Josephine. I just saw the house, and I felt I had been living there. I felt that there was a house that I had been in.
Mm-hmm.
And she was shocked.
That's weird.
I wish I had taken a picture. Then I could see where I was. Just like, it was just like the house. The way I described it was just like the house that I was born in.
Wow, and the thing is, you got that feeling that you knew that you've been there before. Oh my word.
Yeah, I was not scared. I wasn't scared, but I thought, well, why is this memory coming to me? Why is it so awesome, like, you know,
it's
hard to explain.
Wow. That must be so weird, I think. So that was in Mississippi?
Or
was that in
Arkansas?
That was in Arkansas. Let's see. Is there anything you regret doing when you were, I don't know, younger, besides like the dressing outfits? Is there anything that you regret doing when you were younger that you wish you could take back, or?
No, but I do regret that I didn't do, that my father wouldn't let me do what I wanted to do. This may sound like bragging, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very beautiful voice. Did you hear that? Did you hear that young girl that, I forget what her name is. She's in Jerusalem singing.
Charlotte Church?
Anyway, she's 15 years old. She started singing when she was in 12 or 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
Well, my voice was like hers. And the nuns wanted to train my voice.
Mm-hmm.
Because, St. Joseph had just opened up, and I was 13 years old. No, I was 14. And the following year, I was asked to be in the choir, and the whole choir was all adults. I was the only teenager.
Mm-hmm.
And when there was a funeral or a wedding in the middle of the week, the older people couldn't come in because they were working, you know. So I had to sing the whole mass by myself, you know. And one time there was a little boy that died in our school, and the whole school was at the church, and I had to sing the mass and everything myself. Well, when I got upstairs, I was in the eighth grade, and her name was Sister Pancratius, and she says, come in the office, I want to talk to you. And she says, now, don't be conceited. I didn't even know what conceited meant. She said, don't be conceited. She said, but you have a very beautiful voice. And she said, I'll talk to the nun that trained, you know, they had one that trained voices.
Mm-hmm.
And and he says, it's free of charge. And if you get into anything where you get paid for it, well, then you can pay the academy, the nuns. So anyway, the next morning she came and she told me that the one nun wanted to do it, wanted to hear me singing. And I had to ask my father, and he says, no. He says, I don't want any of my daughter to be on the stage. And I didn't say anymore, because once he said no, that was no.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he didn't know that I was a soloist at St. Joseph's Church, because my father never went to church.
Mm-hmm.
My father believed in the Ten Commandments and the commandment of the church, but he didn't believe in the priest, because my father was raised by a Monsignor, and this Monsignor was having an affair with the housekeeper.
Oh boy.
And my father went to live with him when he was 9 years old, and he stayed there until he was until he was 16. So that's where he got the idea of having mistresses, this or that. So he says, do what the priest tells you, but don't do what the priest does.
Yeah.
So anyway, he didn't know that I was singing the solos. He knew I was in the choir, but I always had to take my niece with me. I had a niece that was 11 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so one Christmas Eve, he got drunk. My father never got drunk. he would drink, but he was never drunk. But he got drunk. Somebody had given him some whiskey, I think, or some kind of a drink that he had never had before.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he insisted on going to church. And I kept saying to my mother, no, mother, tell him not to go. Tell him not to go. I don't want him to see me in the choir. He didn't know it, you know. But the way the church was, it was an old church. It was a cigarette factory, and it burned down. But anyway, the church was, the organ was down here, and the platform where we sang was around here,
mm-hmm.
around like that. So when we went, my father insisted on going, and he sat in the back, like. And Mr. Hubble came, I said, Mr. Hubble, I said, well, if you're ready, if I sing down there. And he says, why? I said, I don't want my father to see me. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, your voice won't carry if you sing down there. And he says, your voice has to carry. So there's a young man by the name of Charles Lizette. He says, well, I'll stand on the side there, and your father won't be able to see you. He was quite a big, you know, just a tiny little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but just as soon as I started singing the solo, Charles moved out so my father could see me.
Oh my God!
Well, nothing was said. We went out. My father was walking ahead, she walked all the way home without saying one word. When we got in the house, she said, I didn't know you had such a beautiful voice. Why didn't you tell me?
Oh.
I said, I told you that the nuns wanted to train my voice. And he said, well, I thought you were just kidding. He said, I didn't know you were singing solos. Why didn't you tell me you were singing solos? I said, well, I didn't think you wanted, you'd let me sing if you knew that I was singing solos.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, we had a prayer piano. And he got an operetta.
Uh-huh.
And every time we'd have company, my father would make me sing that operetta.
That was good.
And then a minister, he got a group together with Mr. Hubble, and there was and Charles was that, and another girl, and then there was a young girl from Ann Arbor. They had a program for teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was selected to go up there and sing on the radio. So the first that we went for three Saturdays. The first Saturday I had to sing all Italian songs.
The second
Saturday I sang songs that were popular at that time. And the third, Charles and I sang duets.
Both be fun.
It was, but Mr. Hubble, he said to me, don't look at the microphone, look at me, because you know that microphone was in front.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would get scared by looking at it. So he said, look at me when you sing. So that's what I did.
Yeah, I used to be in choir last year, so I couldn't sing solos, so I was so afraid.
Well, I was afraid at the beginning, but then as time went on, you know, I started when I think I was about 14, and that bothered me. And then as I grew older, I got accustomed to it, so it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
The only time it would bother me it bothered me this one time. Charles Zed gave a play, and I had to sing a solo, and that bothered me because I had to face the people. As long as I was singing with their back towards me, it was all right. But when I was facing them,
mm-hmm.
I made a mistake.
Yeah, I'm not very comfortable in front of a lot of people. But I've been in choir since 8th grade, and my teacher let me do a solo once in 11th grade, and I thought I did so bad, and everyone told me I did good, and I never again was like, never again will I have a solo. I did it once, and that's enough for me, so. But
I was really surprised because, like I said in the beginning, I was, you know, but being that there's all the ones around me that I had practiced with, you know, it wasn't so bad. But when I first started, yeah, and like I said, when I had to face them, and at one time I was at we had a play at the school.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we had it, it was done at school, at the Lincoln School, and my brother was living. And my brother was King of the Sunflowers. And then we had a young girl, her name was Helen Sheets, and then she married Harvey Blanchard. She was the most beautiful girl you ever wanted to see. She had blonde hair, just as beautiful as could be. And she was Queen of the May, and my brother was King of the Sunflower. And then I was in the Maypole, but I wasn't anything except, you know, go around.
Mm-hmm.
And Hazel and I, we went to school together, and then I, at Lincoln School, and then when St. Joseph started, I went there. And we kind of drifted apart, you know, because then I became a beautician, and I never went any place except to church and work. And when I moved over here, she was here with her husband.
Oh, wow.
And I was shocked. She was all hunched back. And she was considered so beautiful, and she was so beautiful. And all of a sudden, she was just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And here, I was ugly, and then I became beautiful.
Then I did a switcheroo there, huh?
Well, this Kyle Reisig, you know, I started this beauty shop that I showed you the picture,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted a sign, you know, Mary's Beauty Shop. And I put an ad in the paper that I wanted a sign made. So this young man came, and he described what he would do, and I was pleased, so I said, okay. Well, the next day, who should come in but that Kyle Reisig, because he was painting.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't recognize me right away, so we started to talk, and I said, I'm sorry, I said, but I've already given the job, and I've mentioned the name. Pretty soon he looked at me, and he said, what was your maiden name? I said, Mary Darpini. He says, boy, have you changed. And I said, thank you, but I snubbed him.
Come down, go down. How many grandchildren do you have?
Seven,
and then one on the way. Do you have any great-grandchildren, or?
Oh, excuse me, I have seven great-grandchildren, one on the way. I have five grandchildren.
Okay. To think if there's anything else that I need. Did you go to the movies a lot when you were younger?
Absolutely. Everything to the picture. Everything. Yeah. My mother and I, we started going to the one that is not there anymore. And we used to go. My mother loved it. And it was all silent movies, you know, and all the things just black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was working at the family theater, the talking came out, and I was so fascinated that I forgot to people down. Got down. That was the only thing that I did for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
See, I had trouble with my second marriage, but it wasn't, he was always good to me.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a woman that got infatuated, and she followed him all over.
Oh, my.
Wherever he went, she went. She got acquainted, she made it a point to get acquainted with Dan's sister, the single one.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't like me too well. So she fixed it so that they started a date.
Oh! That's not very nice.
And I felt that he was doing something. And I questioned him, and I, where are you going? What you doing? And he got mad at me one night. And he says, I'm going to go wherever I want, or wherever I want, it's none of your business. I said, Dan, we're married.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we're married. And I said, if I go any place, don't you want to know? He says, I don't give a damn what you do. So I was going to Toledo at that time because I wanted to have more children.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of a little bit down the dumps. I was very, very depressed. And I passed out in the doctor's office. Not in the office, in the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I came to, the nurse had something under my nose, and then she helped me up, and she brought me into a private room. I had never been in that room. And he had all kinds of diplomas and set of chairs, you know, chair, a desk, and then two chairs. And he had a great big mirror. And he came in and he said, okay, Mr. Christine, what's wrong? And I said, I think my husband is stepping out on me. And he said to me, he said, I'm not going to tell you to do the same thing. He said, because two wrongs don't make a right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but don't stay home waiting for him. He said, what do you like to do? I said, well, the only thing I've ever done is went to show. He said, well, go to show every night, even if you have to see it 4 or 5 times in one. And then one night, it was on a Friday night, and that's the night he always went out. So he was in the bathroom when he was shaving, and I got too early that night. So I went upstairs, and our bathroom, it was a big bathroom,
mm-hmm.
and there was a chair in there, and you know, the stool, and the bathtub, and he was shaving, and I went in, and I said, Ben, don't say anything. I said, I know that you're fooling around. And Ben, it's like woman loves you as much as I do. And it hurts her when you come home to me as much as it does hurt me when you go out and I think you're seeing somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So make one of us happy. Leave me and go with her or leave her and come back to me. He didn't say a word. I went in the kitchen and in the bedroom. I was taking my uniform off, and I had a picture of a dresser with the three mirrors,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was taking my dress off, my uniform off, I was going to get dressed, and he came and he stood in back of me, and he put his hand here, and he said, if we got a divorce, would you date me? And I turned around, date you, I said, I'd hate the ground you walk on. He said, that's what I'm afraid of.
Aww.
But you know what happened? He'd been going with her for 3 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And she got in her and her sister were dating two married men, because that's what's her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they got in a wreck. And Dan felt so bad that he joined the Merchant Marine just because he felt so bad that she had done what she did. So he went and joined the Merchant Marine. See, he would have had to go because he was blind in one eye, although you couldn't tell it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went, and I found out, he left in May, and I found out in September. Everything that he did, where he was going, where they would meet, and how they would meet, and everything. And, of course, I was writing to him, you know, and one time I got him. He said, I don't want to know what you do, because I would tell him I'd go to show, you know. What else was there for me to tell him, you know? He said, I don't care what you're doing. He said, I'd rather hear about my family. So I didn't know what to do, but anyway, I kept writing and telling different things. And one day, when I found out about this, I got a letter from him asking me to send him some stamps. So I put on there, I said, here's your stamp. And I didn't sign my name or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But see, he was on board the ship. And his first tour was to go to Lucian Island because he was bringing guns and, you know, different things that they needed, guns and anything that they needed in the army.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when he got to the one of these, and see, he didn't pick up mail every place they stopped, but they happened to stop where the mail was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was quite a few letters there. They all had, you know, quite a few. So the first one he opened was, "Here's your stamp." And he said, "Look what I got from my wife." He said, and so one of the men said, "Yeah, the next one you're going to get is a Dear John letter." Well, the next one that he opened was, "Dan, after being with such a beautiful, beautiful, intelligent, blonde young lady, I am sure you won't want to come to a dumb Italian woman like me." You know what happened?
What?
He passed out.
Oh my God!
He passed out. And see, the reason I know this is because there was a man from Toledo that they were partners.
Mm-hmm.
They were the same bunks and everything, and got acquainted. And he was married, and he lived in Toledo. And so after Dan died, he told me all this, you know, what had happened and everything. And so I got a letter from him saying, "Please don't do anything until I get home." I wrote to him, but I didn't write anything special, you know. And so I met him in Toledo.
Mm-hmm.
But he called. I started to go out. I was going to a bar that's on the Telegraph. I still think it's on Telegraph. There's three of us. And one of them, her husband had stepped out on her.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, her husband was in service. And so the three of us got together and we would go. But we never dated. We never fooled around or nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started going there. And I'll tell you, I'm not kidding you one bit. I never could sit. The minute that I would walk in there, somebody would ask me to dance. And it's just one time, there's a tailor. He came in and he was sitting at the bar. But I never looked around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to the girls and a young man came and he says, "Miss," and I turned around and he says, "May I have a dance?" And I said, "Sure." So we danced, you know, and then he called me back, sat down, and there was some ladies, because there's a lot of women, they were sagging us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this, one of the women from the other table, I didn't know who she was, but what she got that we
yeah.
And got. So I saw this sailor go up to the bandstand, and it happened to be that the leader of the band was a cousin to my first husband.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, pretty soon they started playing a polka.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he asked me to dance. So I got up and I danced, and he says, I thought you'd be able to dance a polka. He said, "That's why I asked him to play a polka." And I could dance anything, tango. I would go to the show, and I'd see him, in the movies, they would be dancing. You know, I'd go home and I'd practice.
Uh-huh.
All by myself.
Practice makes perfect.
So when my husband and I were met, I decided to give him another chance, but I never trusted him. I can't say that I didn't love him. I can't say I loved him like I did, but we didn't argue, you know what I mean? We got along.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a little something in between. Every time I see the girl, I say, "Hi, bitch." I was terrible. You have no idea how terrible I got. You know what I would do? I'd be walking down the street and I'd meet some woman, and I'd stop and tell her what my husband did to me. strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I saw strangers. When we met in Toledo, he said, I suppose you told everybody. I said, yes. I said, I'd stop people in the street and tell them what you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and you know what I did when I found out? She was working at Klein.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went to work for a Shrouded Meat Market. She was working at Shrouded Meat Market in the office. And I went over there and I said, I want to talk to you. And she said, well, I don't want to talk to you. And she said, I want to talk to you. And she said, no, I don't want to. I said, okay, then I'll tell you in front of all these people just what I want to tell you in private. And she said, so we did. And there was, I happened to be a bar downtown. And we went in there and sat down. I drank a bottle of Coke. I don't remember what she drank. And so I told her, and she denied it. And I said, you can sit there and deny it all you want, but I know it's the truth. And I said, and if you do admit it, I'll hit you over the head with this bottle.
Did she admit it, or did she keep denying it?
She never admitted, but she knew I was down too. Everything that she did, where they went, they went to a place in Gibraltar called Log Cabin, Gibraltar's Log Cabin. And I went there, and I was with my girlfriend Jenny and her husband and Mike and Florence, and I talked to the waitress. And I had a picture of my husband, and I showed it to him, and he said, yes, he's been here, and he described the woman. And so I had all the proof that I needed.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow. My daughter said she's going to write a novel about me.
It's funny to tell, that's for sure.
Well, you know, here about 2-3 years ago, my daughter asked me, she says, Mother, why were there so many men in love with you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Joanne, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The only thing that I could think of is that, as you can see, I have a smile on my face all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that made them think that I was flirting.
Mm-hmm. You never seem to be down, you always seem to be up.
Yeah, no matter how sick I am, nobody knows it. You know, my granddaughter, I was living out at Mama Town's side, but anyway, my granddaughter, she's working at Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And when she first started working there, a man went up to her and he said, are you related to Mary Lucina? And she said, yes, she's my grandmother. She does resemble me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I thought you were related. She says, I was in love with your mother.
Mm-hmm.
With your grandmother. She says, I was a paper boy.
And
she says, I was in love with her. I'd go by there all the time just to see her.
That's so cute.
And Julia told me in front of her mother, you know, the mother there. So just between you and I, my daughter was jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a beautiful person. But she doesn't have the personality. She didn't have the personality. Now she's getting that personality.
Uh-huh.
You know, now she's had the smile on her face. Before, she never smiled, you know. I'd go and visit her and she'd give me a dirty look when she was married. And then we started going to the prayer meeting. She would even introduce me to the people. We'd walk in and she'd go away and she'd leave me there and not knowing where to go or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't help it. And then she told somebody, she said that I didn't love her. And this woman went and told Sister Sippin. Sister Sippin was our spiritual leader.
Mm-hmm.
And so Sister Cyprian called me, and she says, Joanne told Marilyn that, that you don't love her. And I said, well, how do you describe love? What is love?
Mm-hmm.
She says, well, show them that you love them. I said, well, how do you show a person you love them? And she says, well, just tell them you love them. I said, I wasn't raised that way. I said, my mother and father never told me they loved me. But I was their daughter. I knew they loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I started to cry. And the sister walked away from me, and I went into the restroom, and I wiped my eyes, and then the prayer meeting started. And after the prayer meeting, they had a priest by the name of Father Dalen. He was from his Verona fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And he heard confession. So I went in there, and I started to cry, and he said, what's wrong? So I told him. And he said, well, who took care of her? I did. Who brought her things? I did. When you went any place, did you take her with you? I said, all the time. And he said, well, why does she say that? I don't know. But it's because I didn't express myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, before the unit, before, you never heard a young girl, a woman say, oh, I love you, my child. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now they do, but at the time when I always had her, you know, I never heard anybody say, I love you, or my sister never told kids, I love you. Mm-hmm. My mother never told me she loved me. I could see it.
Yeah.
And she should have seen it, but she didn't. But now she's changed.
That's good. Coming around more.
Yeah. Yeah, she, the other day, Sunday, she took, because the doctor told me I should get out.
Mm-hmm.
So she called me. I said, I wanted to go for a ride. So I said, yes. So she came, and we walked down the hall, and I forgot something, so I came back, and she was standing by the elevator, and one of the women, her name is Hilda, and when I got there, Hilda was looking at Joanne, and I said, Hilda, I want to introduce you to my daughter, Joanne. She said, well, she looks like you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't say, people say I look like my dad more than my mom, but I don't know. I don't see resemblance that much.
But you're a beautiful girl, you know.
Oh, thank you.
I was telling Joanne about you.
I said, one of my sisters, my husband's father, and she was me, and I said, Mary, she was, yeah. I go, she's so cool. I thought, well, that's good that you have a new friend. So,
well, you know, when I see somebody that is pretty, I love to tell them. You know what I mean? And I don't lie. If they're not pretty, you know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. not them that aren't pretty, you know. I don't say that they're pretty. I say, hi, how are you, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're pretty, I say, gee, you're pretty. You know, and if I see a little child, oh, well, who's that pretty little girl belong to?
Mm-hmm.
Or who's that little boy belong to? You know, because I was run down when I was little, you know, and maybe, but I think to myself, well, maybe just staying with a pretty girl, maybe they'll build her up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get that too often, so. Kind of feels nice.
Well, you're so beautiful. You're so tall and well built, and you're just pretty.
Oh, thank you. You're very beautiful yourself.
Well, my daughter sings, the little lady passing by, catching everyone's eyes.
You do that now?
Once in a while. right after the first of the year, she called me up, and we joke a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
And she said to me, "Mother, how does it feel to be 91? And I said, "Well, Joanne, I think I got 5 or 6 months before I'm 91. And she said, "Well, don't you remember?" And then I said, "How about when you were an Italian? They say, "I'm 90 going at 91. That's where they say it. See? So I said, "Okay, from now on I'll say, "I'm 90 going on 91.
You never could tell.
That's what everybody says. But you know, honey, I took good care of myself.
Mm-hmm.
See, when I became a beautician, and we had to get licensed, we had a hairdresser's convention.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we would go to the hairdresser's convention, there'd always be 2 or 3 people talking about beauty. And this one time, this man got up and he said, "Beauty doesn't mean just beauty in the hair. There's also beauty in your skin." Mm-hmm. Not your features, but your skin and the way you dress. That's beauty.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe that's why I dress like a model.
Mm-hmm. Have a lot to do with it. Is there anything else that you want to add that maybe I missed? I think I got it pretty much covered.
I think so.
I think I got a lot of good information here to make me an A project.
So my grandson speaking, and when he was going to school,
mm-hmm.
he's the one that's in the movie now. He went to the Michigan, what is it, Michigan State?
Michigan State University.
University, he went there. And, but anyway, he came and interviewed me.
Yeah, they said that he told us that he preferred be a relative, but I told my, I was talking to him and I said, "I have a lady that I deliver medicines to, I go, and she's from an area." So then I said, I really wouldn't mind, you know, interviewing her and finding out a little bit more. And he was like, "Sure." He goes, "As long as you know the person, that's fine." So I told, because I originally had talked to my uncle about it, because we found out about this back in January. And I was like, "Hey, Uncle Frank, you know, can I talk to you?" He's like, "Yeah, sure." And then I met you after I started working the pharmacy, and I go, "Sorry, Uncle Frank," and "I'm going to talk to Mary." I said, "I want to learn a little bit more about Italy and learn about her and stuff. It seems really interesting." He goes, "That's okay, I understand." So,
but see, when there's another thing that you could add. When we came here, we had to stop in Naples.
Mm-hmm.
And near Naples is Pompeii. When it was destroyed by Mount Vesuvius.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw that. See, we were in Naples and we had to wait for the ship. There's a relative of my mother's that lived in Naples.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed there and he took us to see Naples, to see Pompeii. And this man that was taking us around was telling us about how the Mount Vesuvius erupted and killed everybody, and it showed stages of forms of babies. You know what they did was the lava got them and they died right there, you know.
Aww.
So what they did was when they see a mound, they would make a hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then shoot pasture center. And then after extra dry, they would break it. And then when they break it, they would find the form of a baby there.
Aww.
And this man was telling us all about it there. I was 6 years old. And Mount Vesuvius, the smoke was coming out of Mount Vesuvius.
Mm-hmm.
And I got scared. You know, I thought maybe it'll happen now. And boy, when I got on the ship, was that ever happy?
Yeah, I would be too.
You know, they're still finding buried cities. And here, a couple of years ago, they found there was a man. They had built a house, you know, and he was down the basement, and he had a lot of property, so he wanted to do something else, and he dug in little by little, and there was a city. I don't know what they did with it, because I haven't heard anything, but I have a nephew. His name is Jeff Darpini, and he has a computer. I don't know if I told you, but anyway, he was in the internet, and he got wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he happened to get a man by the name of Francesc Darpini, and it's spelled like and written like ours, because mm-hmm. some people, they just put D and then ARPINI. Ours is DApostrophe SOARPINI.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, I'm going to have to. He talks in Claret. And he was supposed to come over here before Christmas, but you know we had such bad weather, and they had the park way in the back there.
Uh-huh.
And so he didn't come, and I got 6 bottles of beer, and I don't drink, and it's in my refrigerator. I should have offered you one if you.
Oh, I'm not old enough to.
But anyway, so I got that over there. So I'm going to call him one of these days, because I loaned him one of my videos mm-hmm. about 3 coins in the fountain. Do you have a VCR?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I get it back, I'll loan it to you.
Okay.
And I'd like it back.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a niece that would be his aunt, and she.